Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 7, entitled Scheduled Incarnations with Specific Functions. Okay. With specific functions. Text 5 today. Please kindly repeat responsibly. Taptam tapo vibhida loka shushrikshaya me. Adau sanat sva tapasa sachatu sanubhut. Prakalpa samplava vinashtam mihatma tatvam. Samyag jagada munayo yat achaksh tatman. All right, word by word translation. Taptam. Having undergone austerities, tapa, penance, vivida, loka, different planetary systems, shishrikshaya, desiring to create, me, of mine, adao, at first, sanat, from the personality of Godhead. Svatapasaha, by dint of my own penances. Saha, he, the Lord. Chatusana, the four bachelors named Sanat Kumara. Sanaka, Sanandana, and Sanatana. Abhut, appeared. Prak, previous. Kalpa, creation. Samplava, in the inundation. Vinashtam, devastated. Iha, in this material world. Atma, the spirit. Tatvam, truth. Samyak, incomplete. Jagada became manifested. Munayaha, sages. Yat, that which. Achakshata, so clearly. Atman, the spirit. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, His Confounder Acharya. Abhai Charanaravinda Bhakti Varanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. To create different planetary systems, I had to undergo austerities and penance. And the Lord, thus being pleased with me, incarnated in four sanas. Sanaka, Sanat Kumara, Sanandana and Sanatana. In the previous creation, the spiritual truth was devastated. But the four sanas explained it so nicely that the truth at once became clearly perceived by the sages. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Vishnu Sahasranama prayers mention the Lord's name as Sanat and Sanatanatma. The Lord and the living entities are both qualitatively Sanatana, or eternal. But the Lord is Sanatana Tama, or the eternal in the superlative degree. The living entities are positively Sanatana, but not superlatively, because the living entities are apt to fall to the atmosphere of non-eternity. Therefore, the living entities are quantitatively different from the superlative Sanatana, the Lord. The word son is also used in the sense of charity. Therefore, when everything is given up in charity unto the Lord reciprocates by giving himself unto the devotee. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.11. Ye yata mam prapadyante. Brahmaji wanted to create the whole cosmic situation as it was in the previous millennium. And because in the last devastation, knowledge of the Absolute Truth was altogether erased from the universe, he desired that the same knowledge again be renovated. Otherwise, there would be no meaning in the creation. Because transcendental knowledge is a prime necessity, the ever-conditioned souls are given a chance for liberation in every millennium of creation. This mission of Brahmaji was fulfilled by the grace of the Lord when the four sanas, namely Sanaka, Sanat Kumar, Sanandana and Sanatana, appeared as his four sons. These four sanas were incarnations of the knowledge of the Supreme Lord, and as such they explained transcendental knowledge so explicitly that all the sages could at once assimilate this knowledge without the least difficulty. By following in the footsteps of the four Kumaras, one can at once see the Supreme Personality of Godhead within himself, within oneself. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. So today we're going to discuss a few points Prabhupada mentions in this purport. The one is the oneness and difference between the soul and Krishna. The second is the purpose of this universe. And the third is who are the four Kumaras. And how by following the four Kumaras one can at once see the Supreme Personality of Godhead within himself. It's 4 points Prabhupada is mentioning this purport. So I was put on the spot light this morning. So please forgive me for my presentation, trying to apologize beforehand. If there is any incoherences, I did not have the time to meditate on this verse. So I guess I have to do it simultaneously. Simultaneous meditation on Krishna and transmission at the same time. Tune in into the direct transmission from Goloka. So, here, Brahma is speaking to Narada. Lord Brahma was requested to speak on transcendental subject matter by his son Narada, because Narada observed that despite the power of Brahma being able to create a universe and many different species and having amazing powers, being very different from all other living entities in this material world, Brahma was standing out in the eyes of Narada. Still, Narada realized that although his father is so powerful, he saw that his father is also praying or meditating. And he asked him in the earlier chapters, "My dear father, who are you praying to? You know, you are so powerful, but at the same time, it looks like you've got some other point of reference. There is something beyond you. What is that? Who is that beyond you? Because I cannot see with my blunt eyes what you see." So from this premise, the whole discussion of Narada and Brahma emerges. And Brahma speaks to him on various topics. Who is the source, the cause of all causes, process of creation, many different wonderful topics, pure devotional service, and ultimately Purusha Shukta, the subject of Purusha Shukta, and then the scheduled incarnations, the chapter we're dealing with now. So you can observe in this conversation between father and the son actually an exchange between guru and disciple, because the guru and the disciple relationship is the most intimate from all relationships you'll find in this material world. You see the most intimate knowledge that has been revealed to all of us. Sometimes we may have the idea that any other relationship, parent or friend or husband-wife or father and child or mother and child, is very intimate relationship, but actually not so. The most intimate relationship is between the guru and the disciple. Why? Because in that relationship, Krishna has been shared. Therefore, immediately when Krishna is present, the intimacy increases, because the sharing is now of two hearts beyond the coverings of the material modes. Therefore, it is the most intimate. Do you agree with me? It is beyond the covering of the material modes. Therefore, it is the most intimate. Any other relationship in the material world, even if it looks intimate, it is actually external, because it's based on the body and the mind at best. So therefore all these deep subjects have been taken into consideration for Narada's enlightenment. And in this chapter, particular chapter, we're dealing with the subject of scheduled incarnations. Brahma is explaining to Narada this is a verse from the previous chapter. O Narada, now I shall state one after another the transcendental incarnations of the Lord, known as Lila avatars. Hearing of their activities counteracts all foul matters accumulated in the ear. These pastimes are pleasing to hear and are to be relished. Therefore they are in my heart. Remember what I told you? It's the sharing of hearts. So exactly confirmed by this verse, stay in my heart. So Brahmaji is sharing all the lila avatars with Narada, so that all the contamination from the material world can be removed from his consciousness. He says that this is the medicine for purification from illusion. This is the medicine to remember our purpose in this world. So, the living entity in this world is 100% in illusion. Every person that is born in this world is immediately identifying with the body. So, when we identify with the body, then we don't know what's the purpose of life. Or we think the purpose is enjoyment within the material realm. So because of that ignorance, the living entities need knowledge. And that knowledge cannot come from another ignorant living entity. It's not possible. Because it's just illogical that one person in ignorance can give knowledge to another person in ignorance. So therefore, the Lord has to incarnate into this world to perform certain lilas and to particularly deliver knowledge of the real self, of the super self, and the relationship between both. So here Brahma is dealing with this topic of scheduled incarnations, because this is how the knowledge comes into this world. This is how the incarnations bring this knowledge in this material world. All these different avatars, Shakti Avesh avatar, Purusha avatar, they come into enter into the material world. Lila avatar, Yuga avatar, all of them are bringing the message of the Vedas to actually transform the consciousness of the ignorant living entity who identifies with matter now. And then when this knowledge is brought into this material world, by engaging with this knowledge, one becomes purified. It's almost like one becomes enlightened, we can say. Almost like the sun, when the sun is rising in the morning, you see everything immediately. You see the beach, you see the building, you see yourself. Everything becomes visible with the sunrise. So this knowledge, Brahmavidya, transcendental knowledge, the knowledge of Brahman, the spiritual world, is actually compared to the sun that illuminates the darkness, the dense darkness of this material world. Therefore, again and again, the Lord has to come as an incarnation to revive it. So here, in this verse, we hear that to create different planetary systems, I had to undergo austerities and penance. And the Lord, thus being pleased with me, incarnated in four sannas. In the previous creation, the spiritual truth was devastated. So as you know, the knowledge comes to this world through the avatars. But then there is pralaya. There is partial devastations. So the universes get destroyed. But Brahmaloka always remains. And I think Mahaloka, some of these upper planets, they remain without being disturbed by the partial pralaya, devastation. So when the pralaya ends, then Brahma has to recreate all the planets, all the lower planetary systems. That's what he's saying here. To create different planetary systems, I had to undergo austerities and penances and penance. And thus the Lord, being pleased with me, incarnated in four sannas. In the previous creation, the spiritual truth was devastated. So when the universe is partially devastated, then the knowledge disappears. And then Brahma has to deliver it somehow. And he needs the help of the Lord. So the Lord incarnates in varieties of forms, in this case as the four Kumaras. Prabhupada says that the four sannas were incarnation of the knowledge of the Supreme Lord, the knowledge incarnation of the Lord. So they represented the knowledge of the difference between metta and spirit. And of course, they became devotees as well, the knowledge of devotional service. When the four Kumaras approached Vaikuntha, they were not allowed to go in by Jai Vijay. So Jai Vijay were cursed by the four Kumaras to fall. They were cursed by the four Kumaras, and the Lord asked them, what kind of reaction do you want? Do you want to go down to the material world for three lifetimes as demons, or you want to go there for seven lifetimes as devotees? So they chose to become demons, Jai Vijay, because it's a shorter time in the material world, so they can regain their position back in the spiritual world. But at that time, when the four Kumaras saw the Lord and they smelled the tulsi leaves that were offered to the Lord's lotus feet, that aroma immediately transformed their senses. They became purified. They developed bhakti. Before that, they were impersonalists, Brahmavadis. It's explained by modern scientists that the sense of smell is is very powerful, and it's got its purpose. And for example, if we don't, if our smelling power is disturbed, then we can't taste the food. You know, so the smelling actually helps the tasting. You know that? They're connected. If you sometimes are sick from flu or something like that, you can actually see, observe yourself how you're eating, but it's just, you know, no taste. It's completely tasteless. So, because of the nose being blocked. So, this is very powerful sense. However, it's not as powerful as hearing. But still, you can see these four kumaras, they smelt, simply smelt the aroma from the lotus, from the tulsi leaves of the lotus feet of the Lord, offered to the Lord. And then that was enough for them to become transformed. So, then they became devotees, and then they continued in this material world. They are traversing and traveling in the material world, giving this transcendental knowledge. I believe it was in the fourth canto when the four Kumaras met someone, I can't remember now exactly which was the personality they met, and they gave a whole discourse on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that will just come in two cantos from now, where you will engage with the four Kumaras directly and their teachings. It was a while ago I've read the fourth canto, so I'm actually reading it now again. I just started a few days ago. So I'll probably reach that in the next few days. So this is the knowledge incarnation of the Lord. So all the avatars, they have this particular purpose to reawaken the living entity from the slumber of the material illusion. Whether it's a Lila avatar, whether it's a Shakti Avesha avatar, Yuga avatar, all these avatars, they're meant to reclaim the conditioned soul back to the spiritual world. And therefore they perform particular lilas and they disseminate specific knowledge. Now, this modern day and age, the avatar for this age is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It is explained in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kali Kali Namarupa Krishna Avatar. So in this age, the incarnation of the Lord is the Maha Mantra of the Lord. So if we really want to benefit from this human form of life, if we want to perfect our existence, then we should take advantage of this avatar of the Lord. The Maha Mantra is not some combination of words just to hypnotize the chanter, you know, and set him into some kind of a false sense of happiness, you know, from the miseries in this material world. Not really. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is actually a direct link to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is the telephone line, Prabhupada said. So when you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is actually notifying. He's seeing, okay, here is a person who is eager to reconnect with me. So by chanting Hare Krishna, we are saying to the Lord Krishna, here I am, please deliver me. That's what it means. You see, exactly that's what it means. Even if you don't think about it, that's what it means. Sometimes you say something you don't mean, and then it happens. But this is also the same. You may not mean, Krishna, please deliver me. You may just chant the Maha Mantra just to have fun, like some people on the street, they see us and they want to joke with us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They joke like that. But actually, they don't realize that by saying Hare Krishna, they're stating to the Lord, my dear Lord, please deliver me from this material world. And then Krishna says, oh, you are saying that I should deliver you. All right, I will make some arrangement for you. This is the special mercy of the Lord. So usually Krishna doesn't force the living entities. But when they even jokingly call out his name, he is notifying that person. Okay, this person, now from now on, I'm going to arrange, I'll do some things to his life. You know, I'll electrocute his Maya a little bit to get him out of his slumber. So Krishna is showing special mercy to those who chant his name, even in ignorance. What to speak of chanting the name of the Lord in full consciousness, in full humility, begging, my dear Lord, please deliver me from this material consciousness. So we have to take advantage of the Lord's incarnations. Here Prabhupada states in the purport, this material world has no purpose, no meaning, if there is no transcendental knowledge in the world. It's just no meaning. What is the meaning of a car without an engine? You know, or car without a driver. There is no purpose, no meaning. You can think about millions of examples of how something doesn't have a purpose in relation to something else. So this material world does not have any meaning without the relationship with transcendental knowledge. Because if you just look at it, at the material world without spiritual knowledge, then it is just it's a useless affair. Like Albert Camus, this famous philosopher, existentialist, he said his life is about suffering, and it is really up to you whether you should end it now or you should just wait for its natural course, you know, to take place. So he committed suicide himself, Albert Camus. As far as I know, he drove off his car off a cliff into the sea. He was an existentialist philosopher. Recently I was reading the lyrics of one rock band who was very famous some years ago. And the whole album is called Revelations. And I saw inside that this person, the singer of that band, he is simply talking to God in his lyrics directly. He doesn't say God, but he's saying, you know, give me knowledge. Who am I? What am I doing here? Why don't you help me to get out of this ignorance? You know, that's his whole conversation, all his lyrics. So he's got no transcendental knowledge. He has little bit, perhaps. And he's saying, why your revelation doesn't make sense to me? He's reading the Bible, probably, but there is so much deficiencies in the Bible. Because Bible has been changed and altered, reincarnation has been taken out, karma, then it doesn't make any sense when you look at it as a scripture. When I was a kid, I was thinking, it's not possible that this is a real thing. Because how can it be that there is all merciful God, then He creates you sinful, He creates you sinful, and then if you don't accept Him, if you don't just believe in Him, then He'll throw you into an eternal hell. It's what a whooped, crazy philosophy is that, you know. So even as a kid, I was thinking, oh man, this doesn't make any sense to me, you know. So therefore, this person who was exposed to the Bible, he was thinking, your revelations don't make sense to me. And he was like crying out, please help me, I'm suffering. So I was reading how this person was actually in rehab for drugs and alcohol. His wife left him because of that. So basically he went through a like personal life crisis for quite some time. Then he stopped smoking, he stopped, you know, drinking and all that in this rehab. But, you know, of course, in these rehabs, more or less, they give the biblical, the Christian kind of idea again. So, you know, he kind of managed to minimize his destructive behavior. His mode of ignorance diminished a little bit. But no full revelation. So therefore, you can see how important it is for devotees to perform outreach. Because if people get across Prabhupada's books, then they can see the full picture. They can actually see the sun rising in the sky and realizing everything. Yesterday I was reading one article about Karnamrita Mataji. This singer, Sinéad O'Connor, very famous Irish singer, like a pop singer, very famous in the 90s. She was like really, really famous all over the world. And then she pulled away from this career because she felt that the music machine is trying to squash her into something that she does not want to be. You know, like the music machine wants to shape you up, to sell you out to people. So she wanted to be herself, but they wanted to control what she sings, how she looks. You know, the producers of a band, you know, they just want to shape you up the way they think the public will buy you. So she just left all that game for many years, and she was just doing, you know, her own thing, singing here and there in a small scale. But recently she heard Karnamrita Mataji's kirtan, and this, she was sick in the hospital, and somehow through YouTube, I think, she happened to press Karnamrita's song from the 10th canto, two verses she's chanting there, I can't remember. Yes, Devaki, the prayer of Devaki. Yeah. And that song is very beautiful. So this lady heard that song and she said, this song transformed me immediately. I became cured, you know, from my illness, and my depression went away. And she said, this music is really transformative. And then that article that she wrote, at the end she finishes, I believe it was a purport or a verse. Yeah, I think she actually translates the verse from the Bhagavatam into English. She ends the article on her blog with the verse of the Bhagavatam translated into English, whatever Karnamrita is singing. And she's glorifying Karnamrita like anything. And she says in that article, I'm reading now Bhagavad Gita. You see. So this is the ingenuity of the devotees of the Lord who are trying to promote this incarnation of the Lord. Not that the Lord can't promote himself. He is self-sufficient, but the devotees are given that opportunity to promote the Maha Mantra. And they are taking advantage. In this way, through the Maha Mantra, through Srimad Bhagavatam, through various media, we are meant to promote these teachings, this real pure message of Krishna consciousness about the soul, the real self, the super self, and the relationship between both. And in that way, the jiva can become reawakened. The jiva can become woken up from the ignorant slumber. And understand that the finest mellows of life, talking about Vraja Bhakti, you know, Vraja Lila, speaking about Vrindavan consciousness, which is all about selflessness. His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj explained yesterday how in this consciousness there is no even a tinge of desire for liberation. Even liberation, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, is in the category of lust. If you want to be liberated from this material world, it is still selfish tendency. So the pure devotees, for example, Prahlad Maharaj, in the seventh canto, he says, "My dear Lord, how can I go back to Godhead if all these fools and rascals are rotting in this material world? Until I see all of them going back to Godhead, I shall not leave this material world, but trying to always disseminate this transcendental knowledge." So this is the mood of a Shuddha Bhakta, someone who is beyond any type of personal consideration. And then Deo Amrita Maharaj very poignantly yesterday enlightened us that there is no contradiction that, you know, when someone is very selfless, usually people think that how can you be happy? It's contradictory. Because you achieve happiness by thinking of yourself, you know, in the material world, that's our concept. I can do something for myself to make myself happy, you know. But actually there is no contradiction that the more selfless you are, the more happy you are. Why? Because Krishna forces happiness upon you. This is what is stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna forces an ocean of happiness on his devotees, even if they don't want to be happy, even if they don't think of their own happiness. Krishna unlimitedly supplies happiness to them. This is what Maharaj explained last night. So then we should try to digest this transcendental knowledge, understand the difference between metta and spirit, the difference between the minute soul and the super soul, and their relationship. And when we have this understanding, then we can actually perform abhidhaya. You know, sambandha means the knowledge. You get to know who you are, who the Lord is, what's your relationship, and then abhidhaya follows. You start to live in that knowledge. You start to practice that knowledge. That's called abhidhaya. And by practicing this knowledge, gradually you come to the level of prayojana, which is pure love of God. And that level of prayojana, then all your selfish considerations disappear. Maharaj gave also the example of the green mango and the ripened mango. Huh? So he said, the green mango and the ripened mango, or mango, is mango. So whether you're a neophyte devotee or you're a very advanced devotee, you're a devotee. But the green mango, although maybe not so sweet, but if it stays on the sun, abhidhaya, sambandha abhidhaya, if you keep remembering who you are, jivera swarupa hoi krishnera nityadas, krishnera tatasta shakti beda veda prakash, your eternal servant of the Lord, if you remember this position of yours and you act in it, constantly try to be in uninterrupted service, ahoitiki apratikata, uninterrupted service, then you could help to reach prayojana. If you interrupt the service, then there is no hope. But if you don't interrupt, if you are constantly engaged in service, planning and scheming how to serve the Lord and acting on it, then you can hope that you reach a prayojana. And when you reach that prayojana, then selflessness, absolute selflessness there. And then, although you are absolutely selfless, you are the most ecstatic because of the ocean of ecstasy that is showered upon you by Krishna. But also, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj gives another angle that although you may be the most happy, you will also be the most sad simultaneously. Again, the chinta bera bera tattva. Why? Because you see the suffering of others. You may be the most happy yourself, but then when you see everyone else suffering, then you are simultaneously the happiest and the saddest. This is transcendental. You can't understand it from a material perspective. You know, one example is Prabhupada. He was the happiest and he was the saddest. And therefore, Prabhupada came down to the Madhyamadikari platform so he can preach. because he saw that although they engaged in the service of the Lord, they engaged in the illusory energy service. And therefore, they are suffering birth after birth. So therefore, I have to come down to actually, although they are engaged, they fully surrender to the Lord in this illusory energy, I have to deliver them from there. That's why Prabhupada is coming. That's how the Uttama Adhikari sees this material world. The happiest and the saddest. But that sadness is not like a material sadness, you know, due to attachment and aversion and, you know, selfishness. That is transcendental ecstasy, actually. Although it is sadness, it is transcendental ecstasy that motivates the devotee to go out and reach to others. It's completely different. It's transcendental ecstasy that motivates you to reach out to others. It's like an engine of motivation, that sadness to see. One devotee, I remember a story, I can't remember, was it Shruta Kirti Prabhu or Harisori Prabhu, one of the two. They were once in a car with Prabhupada and somewhere in New York. They were going to some program and then I think he was driving. And then he looked into the rear view mirror. And he saw Prabhupada sitting at the back seat and tears were coming from his eyes like that. And he asked him, Prabhupada, is there anything wrong? Why are you crying? And Prabhupada said, can't you see how the people are suffering? You know, just look on the street how they are suffering, walking aimlessly here and there, just beaten up by Maya. Can't you actually see this? That was Prabhupada's vision. So that apparent suffering of Prabhupada was making him so determined to reach out to others. But that is on a very, very high level. So I'll finish by, you know, but we can keep following in Prabhupada's footsteps and we will also reach to that level. It's not that this is only for Prabhupada, to see the living entities in that way. No, Prabhupada came to show us how to become like him, Prabhupada Nugas. You know, we shouldn't remain eternally neophyte devotee. We should become like him. That is the idea. So I'll end up by saying that sometimes people criticize us. That, oh, you Hare Krishnas, you're singing and dancing, and you look happy. But it's the same. These guys on the soccer field there, the rugby match, they're also singing and dancing their rugby songs and they feel happy, you know. So it's the same thing, you know. You're happy in that way, we're happy in that way. So this is the ignorance. But the answer to this is that if you take the alcohol out of the rugby guys, they will not chant their songs, you know, the rugby songs and cricket songs or whatever it is there, soccer songs. In Bulgaria, I've heard them sometimes. I live close to the stadium where my mother stays, and sometimes you can hear they have hymns, whole hymns, like composed 8 verses, shlokas, and they chant them together, like we chant in the morning Guru Vastakam. They chant their shlokas, you know, to support their team. And they're in full ecstasy, and you may think it's the same, you know. Vishnu Jam Prabhu is dancing on the street, you know, enjoying Hare Krishna, and the soccer fan is also enjoying, you know, it's the same thing, you know. He's happy by Hare Krishna, he's happy by chanting soccer, you know, it's the same. But no, if you take the alcohol component, they will not be happy to chant like that. That's one thing. And second thing, these chants are not in awareness of the self, the super self, and the relationship between the both. Therefore, it's not sambandha chants. Therefore, it will not lead them to abhidhaya, and therefore, it cannot release them from the material world. So it may look like the same, but it's not going to produce the same same outcome. And sometimes they can argue and criticize. They can say, but okay, you may be happy singing and dancing on the streets for some time, but then I saw you after that, you were so miserable. I saw you at some point, you were so miserable. So how will you respond to that person? You'll say, my dear sir, I'm in the hospital. So when I'm in the hospital, some days I'm feeling good, some days I'm feeling not good. So, you know, I'm not perfectly healthy person, but at least I'm taking my medicine. How about you? You can answer to them like that. You see. And then Maharaj also last night said very nicely, the more you take the medicine, the more you feel healthy. You see. The more you follow the prescription, the healthier you are, and the more you feel that this process works. It's beneficial. It produces the expected result that was described in the pages of the Bhagavatam. So in this way, this conversation between Brahma and Narada is extremely important because it describes different details about the creation, the purpose, the avatars of the Lord who come to enlighten us about the purpose of this creation, the Lord being present as Purusha Shukta, being the cause of all causes, the person beyond Brahma, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. So Brahma is telling Narada, this is who I am. I am worshipping the Parameshvara Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna. And from this Parameshvara, he is the cause of all causes, Sarva Karana Karanam. This cosmic manifestation is being presented, as well as the jivas and the knowledge for the jivas to liberate it from it. And then the Lord comes as an avatar. So basically this is the simple summary of a few chapters. The Lord comes to enlighten them again and again. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Comments or questions from the enlightened audience? It's very difficult to speak to enlightened people. It's more easy to speak to people who don't know. So, who was first, Jat Bharat Prabhu, and then?
Just a reiteration of the point that ever conditioned souls are given the opportunity to realize the transcendental as mentioned in the rest of
the. They're always given that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's the mercy of the Lord.
Yeah. In other words, it doesn't stop when the universe is destroyed. It doesn't say, okay, that's it, you know, the new jivas, they should suffer. No. He comes again. Yeah. So again and again, that shows that the Lord has the interest to deliver us. Yeah, although Krishna is completely healthy, in one sense, this material world is his disease. All the disease living entities are coming here. You know, but it is not the same as material disease because Krishna doesn't suffer in the same way that a diseased person suffers. He's actually also coming in to perform his lilas and he's in always in transcendental ecstasy, although he feels the pain of the suffering of the conditioned soul. But still, again, it is transcendental ecstasy, like I explained. A Prabhupada is feeling the saddest, but at the same time, that is his ecstasy and motivation to come down to release us. So he comes again and again. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam tadatmanam adharmasya tadatmanam svijami aham. Yes? Who? Someone?
I'm just thinking about how merciful the Lord is. He creates this material world against his own desires because of the desires of the living entity.
Yes. Exactly, yeah. Through his lilas,
yeah.
And through his Shabda Brahman revealed Shastra. Yeah, I heard something about Radha Vallabha yesterday, that when Prabhupada installed them, he prayed to the deity and he said, please help these fellows, please look after them, otherwise they will just mess up everything. Is it true? It wasn't like that?
That was Radha Gopinath.
Okay.
And Radha Gopinath had come India.
Yes.
Several times on the boat that they've been sent.
Yeah.
And because the devotees were moving, they were going back again.
To India, so really? Yes, very good. Yeah. So, yeah, Prabhupada had this special relationship with the deities that he could pray to the deity and actually ask him to please help the devotees to be able to worship him, you know, to worship the Lord. The Lord is incarnating as Archavigraha. So this is also another incarnation of the Lord that is present along with the holy name in this age. Although the Yuga Dharma is not deity worship, still the Lord comes in that way because we are not so qualified to chant all the time. We lose the taste. So on the initial stage, one has to perform deity worship to get purified, and gradually he can come to the Nama stage, a full focus on the holy name. So it's like another form of help. So the Lord is continuously helping, and even now in this particular time, the Lord incarnates into many, many different Archavigraha all over the world so that so many devotees can take advantage. You know, when he came as Krishna, he was present only in Vrindavan, what we call India today. He wasn't present in America, in Italy, and Australia. But now he's everywhere. So Archavigraha can be even more merciful, in one sense. Because he can, you know, show his mercy on all continents, all planets, everywhere. This is the special mercy of the Lord.
Yeah.
They leave. Amazing, huh? Yes, that's why Indra Jumna Maharaj, he likes so much to go to these deities that were worshipped by the Sis Goswamis in Vrindavan. He always goes on a parikrama to see all these different temples, or he went to Jaipur also, where some of the original deities are there. Because he feels that this is the Archavigraha of the Lord that is remained. You know, it's the mercy incarnation. It's really amazing. Yes, Prabhu? Knowledge incarnation of the Lord. It's a lila. It's very simple. It's a lila. Everything that looks weird, it's all lila. It's the Lord is arranging to show how even a Brahmavadi can become a devotee simply by coming in contact with the tulsi leaves, for example. Just one of your senses, if it's engaged in the service of the Lord, somehow or other, by hook or by crook, like Prabhupada says, then something, and if you appreciate, then immediately it will happen. So even Brahmavadis, they can become attracted. So, they came, they looked, you know, basically like Brahmavadis, but they were also coming on a mission to show how every person can become a devotee, even a Brahmavadi, even a materialist demon, you know, Jagai Madai later on. This Jai Vijay became Jagai Madai, even they became devotees. So basically everyone can become a devotee by being connected in some way or other to the Lord's service. Yeah, it's a lila. They come in and they act in a role, but they don't the Lord covers them with His divine energy, so they don't remember who they are and what's their mission until it's revealed to them. You see. Yeah. Yes, Brahma got bewildered.
Yes.
Brahma Vimoha Lila. Yeah, so these are all Lilas of the Lord to teach certain lessons to the world. And they are recorded in the Shastra. Mother? Want? Yes? Yes.
Prabhupada returned after installing Mother Govinda at the initiate of the field of Brahma devotees in Sydney. Then he left Australia. Then he'd come back. And then he took darshan for deeds and said, moved again. Mother Govinda was always moving. And he said, after seeing the beautifully dressed ornaments worn by Mother Govinda, His Divine Grace said to Shyam Sundar, look how nicely they are taking care of Radha and Krishna. This is after
him. Yes.
He asked, who is taking care of the deities? Here, Charu revealed that it was his wife, Vaibhavi. Then His Divine Grace told us that he had prayed to Radha Govinda the previous year. Now I'm leaving you in this Malecha dish. I can take no more responsibility. You please give these boys and girls the intelligence to worship you nicely. Shri Prabhupada smiled with great satisfaction. Now I can see that Krishna has fulfilled my prayers.
Yeah. Haribol. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, it's 5 to 9 actually, so we should conclude here. Thank you very much for your kindness, giving me the opportunity. Grant Urat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nanti Kori Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande.